How would you feel if the thing haunting you didn't feel separate from you at all? How would you handle it if a place could call your name in a voice you recognized, but no one had spoken? Or if you started to fear that something unseen had learned your pain before you had? How would you deal with the fact that the thing hurting you wasn't just in the room, but somehow bound to your past? And what would you do if a darkness attached itself to you so quietly you only noticed once you began to change? No one can answer those questions, but we will do our best today in what is potentially the most intense episode of The Dark Paranormal ever.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal with Kevin Eustace.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the second episode of this season's Dark Paranormal. Now, that little preface before the intro music about this being possibly the most intense episode ever, well, that's not hyperbole. In fact, although it is part of the email sent in by our anonymous submitter, I will read to you the trigger warnings now in advance, because this may, in fact, definitely won't be an episode for those with certain feelings and sincerely for those with young ears. And the trigger warnings that have been placed on this email by our submitter are as follows. Trigger warning: child abuse, sexual violence, racial violence. So, if on hearing those trigger warnings, this episode you feel may be a bit uncomfortable for you, please skip it. If you're still here, it's going to be intense. But it's also going to be educational and downright terrifying. But before we get to that, of course, a huge shout to our Patreon team. They're the lifeblood of this show. And we sincerely, literally, could not operate this entire thing without them. Now, if you wish to become a Patreon, the link is in the show notes. We're giving away a week's free trial at our highest tier. And what do you get in return for becoming a Patreon to The Dark Paranormal? Well, you join a group of the most polite, like-minded paranormal enthusiasts out there. You also gain early ad-free access to each and every show, including debuts and finales. And you also get two extra shows just for Patreons every week. Most podcasts say we will do a monthly Patreon podcast. We put out two per week. A 30-minute one named Dark Bites, which has a back catalogue you can binge of over 200 hours of Patreon-only content. And a new show in video format, but also available through the Patreon audio feed, called After Dark, where I strip everything back, no intro music, and I talk unedited about the things we've discussed over the last week. If you've been a fan of the show for a good few years, now is the perfect time to join and support the show. But again, the link's in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And if you have your own paranormal experience of any type or length, there is also a submit your experience link in the show notes, or go to thedarkparanormal.com/submitmyexperience. But right now, it's time to lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable and, of course, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear Haunted from Inside. Hi, Kevin. I've been listening to your podcast for at least 2 years, and I've repeated the run of the show at least 3 times. While I'd originally developed an interest in the paranormal purely out of morbid interest and entertainment, I've grown to understand and appreciate, through my own experiences and the ones I've heard, that while we may get an adrenaline rush out of these stories of ghosts and demons, these are deeply traumatizing encounters. Outside of the tragedies that often cause hauntings, the human body and mind were not built to experience these assaults on our senses. It's been a long time that I've been thinking about writing to you and running away from it. I think I'm ashamed, because the worst things to happen to me weren't external hauntings. Whereas most of your submitters were haunted by some foreign entity, the worst thing to happen to me was from my own energy. The most awful thing that ever happened was a brief period in my young adult life when I experienced psychokinetic violence as a result of my own repressed trauma. Because these memories we've all shared with each other are sometimes such painful accounts of grief and fright and sometimes literal attacks on our beings, your show is kind of a paranormal group therapy session, and I'm deeply grateful for the space you've provided. The reason my main experience causes me to feel shame is that I blamed myself for what happened to me. And judging by the tears I'm shedding whilst typing now, I still do. In an effort to heal from this trauma, which may have resulted from my own energy but which I must understand isn't my fault, I've decided it's time to come forward. For the sake of privacy, I'm going to be speaking strictly anonymously throughout this entire account, and I'd ask my name not to be shared. I grew up on the east coast of the US. I, my younger sister, whom I'll call Eva, my mother and father all lived together until they divorced when I was 6. After that, there was a lot of moving around. My mother came out of the closet during this time and very quickly fell into the U-Haul lesbian trope. It's important to the story that you understand. My mother was not a passive agent in my childhood abuse. She would say and do cruel things to me and my sister. When my hair was growing matted due to neglect, she had it cut off. And she told me it was because of my poor grades in school. I realize now she was trying to hide evidence of her absent parenting. My sister, who was 10 at the time, once went to school and took off her shirt to wear her undershirt instead. When my mother saw her at afternoon pickup, she made her walk around the neighborhood where my high school was like it was a scarlet letter, knowing full well about the creepy men around there, the same ones I'd been telling her about that had been catcalling me all year. As both me and my sister entered puberty, she and her partner would make repeated and unwelcome comments on our breast development. Once, after a particularly awful report card season, she told me to go down the street and to ask the women to show me how to perform sexual activity with my mouth so I could make a living. I was 12. My mother had made it clear that her partner, her career as a chef, and her dream of owning a restaurant were the important parts of her life. Like many families, we children were accessories to adulthood. After wintering in a house with no heat, no kitchen, no electricity on the second floor, and no hot water for the first month, my mother saved enough for a real house and a spot for a restaurant. My sister and I spent most of our time in the basement doing homework and reading, coming up for meals and occasionally helping with dinner rushes. It was certainly an oppressive space. I remember once we came back from vacationing with our grandparents, jubilant and excited. And the moment I opened that basement door, I was immediately overcome with a sudden lonely feeling of depression. even though just seconds ago I was laughing and smiling. Eva and I would hear boxes moving, sounds our mother would dismiss as mice. But having been in restaurants and old houses long enough, I knew what mice sounded like. Their tiny paws scratched in cardboard boxes and they weren't large enough to push them. More eerie than that, every once in a while, we'd hear our mother or her partner call us upstairs. Hey. Only we'd get there to find neither of them had called us. Eventually, Eva and I figured out the difference. Our parents would open the door before they called us, but the ghost couldn't. If we heard our names being called without the door opening first, we'd dismiss it as just the ghost and get back to our reading. Eva and I weren't the only ones to experience something. Our mother and her partner would see the outline of a man in the kitchen, pretending to cook. This wasn't a residual playing out its own life. This building had never been a restaurant. All of the appliances had been installed when we bought it. This thing was a sentient entity, one that absorbed and repeated what it saw and heard. On the last night they were open, a woman sat at the bar suddenly ran to the kitchen window. "You guys are closing?" she loudly whispered. They'd refused to tell the public they were closing, so how did she know? The woman told my mother that a gruff and disembodied voice from behind her ear had said, "Take it all in. It's all over tonight." The lady turned around and saw no one. I want to tell you about two incidents I believe were astral projection. Firstly was when I was in Thailand. I'd fallen off a motorbike and landed directly on my tailbone, and had been sent home from a clinic with a bag full of painkillers. That night I felt myself awake, but not in my body. I felt myself floating upright from one end of the room to the other without any control over my movements. I could see my room down to every detail, my TV on in a bright white static. I could hear the static in my ears as some force dragged me around the room, and I could do nothing to get back into my bed. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Painkillers. I think so too. But I later took the same medicine and dosage for bad menstrual cramps, and there was no such result. What I keep returning to is this. Traditional Chinese animist traditions present throughout Thailand hold that ghosts cannot move except in straight lines. No diagonals, no curves, no zigzags. It's the whole principle behind Feng Shui. To prevent harm from spirits moving through space. That night, floating uncontrollably in a completely lucid state, I was only moving in straight lines. The second time was in Turkey, visiting my father's extended family. Again it was night, again I was lucid. I could see my room in every detail, and I was dragged out of bed. It felt like I was fighting for my entire life not to let whatever invisible force had me by the ankles pull me free. A part of me knew it wasn't just dragging me out of bed and onto the floor, it was dragging me out of my room entirely, to somewhere I did not want to go. It felt like I struggled for ages, but I finally got back, no pills included that time. When I left Turkey, my mother was living in the deep south, and I moved in with her until I found a place of my own. The room was suspiciously cheap, which I later would understand. One night, while I was sleeping, I woke to the feeling of being slapped on the top of my head with a pile of books. There was no headboard, no wall above me, no bookshelves near the bed. I knew the house was across the street from a very famous lynching in the 1980s. often cited as the last lynching in the country, before a recently released report detailed incidents between 2000 and 2025. I live next door to the home of one of the men who, after a judge failed to indict a black man for a white man's murder, attacked an 18-year-old boy with a mob. A man I worked with in town told me what they did to him. Let's just say the tree is still there down the street. I don't know if being black has anything to do with what I experienced in that house, but given the history of the property, I would not be surprised. Okay guys, I need to talk to you about money. Why? Well, it's high on my agenda at the moment as I'm looking to move not just house, but country. So I have a money goal that I'm really striving to achieve. And let's just say, to say I've got some way to go is an understatement. But I'm trying not to fixate on where my money is now, because so many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is the financial wellness app that cares about where your money's going tomorrow. And something I think is wonderful that Acorns have is the Acorns Potential Screen, so you can find out what your money is capable of. You guys know I've worked with Acorns for a while, and the reason I love working with them is because they take away the scare factor from investing. But in reality, investment and investing should mean the same for one person as it does for the next. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns.
Paid on client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Back on the East Coast, I was living with a friend from college and her family. We were watching a paranormal investigator show one afternoon when she suddenly got up to grab paper and a pencil. She started drawing. The first picture she drew was of the two of us watching TV. Suddenly, through the kitchen door, walked the outline of a woman made of purple light. Now, I didn't feel threatened. But both of us knew this moment was important. I was speechless, staring at this woman. And I felt my gaze, my whole head, forced to look down at the drawings my friend was sketching. The second image was of the woman stood behind us, staring a beam of light through my friend's head and onto the paper as she drew. By the third sheet of paper, my friend was hardly holding the pencil. The tip of the eraser was barely grasped between her fingers, yet the pencil flew across that page and scratched a perfect image, like some terrifying etch-a-sketch. The image was of a small clearing in a forest, and a man coming out of a river to the welcoming arms of a woman in white in a tent. I had an overwhelming feeling that this woman was my maternal great-grandmother, coming to tell me that my grandfather's soul had passed safely to the other side, he having died of cancer complications at least a year before. From then on, I'd get occasional dream visits from him, and I always know I have him looking out for me. Later that same year, I was living with a woman and her young daughter. She was deeply spiritually inclined, and, as such, very sensitive. I'd been briefly seeing a man who lived in a building that was once an elementary school, converted into studio apartments. While we were watching TV and after he'd got up to use the bathroom, I felt my gaze being dragged to the right, as it had been with my great-grandmother. But this time, I couldn't see anything, though I could feel it. I could feel that a young boy was staring back at me, full of rage. When the man came back from the bathroom, I said nothing and I tried to continue watching the show. But the whole time, I was fighting a physical compulsion, not an urge, a compulsion, to look at the child who was staring at me. That evening, I was getting ready for bed at home, and I saw a dark yellow cloud emanating from my mirror. It was coming straight towards me. It disappeared as suddenly as it came, and then the next few days were strange. I was fully aware of my speech and my actions, but I could tell something about them wasn't mine. I was more irritable, more petty. I was using meaner language at work. My roommate confronted me. She said there was an energy I was using to get what I wanted, but it was evil, and I was hurting myself and those around me. This was after two dishes had broken downstairs without anyone near them. I went to my room and I cleaned my mirror with salt water. I opened windows and saged the bedroom, then went to my altar to pray. My palms up, I asked for the entity to come forward, and I felt it approaching. And it felt incredibly sad. I knew instantly this was the little boy from the school-turned-apartment building. And I knew it was sad because it was afraid. And it didn't want to be sent away. Now, what happened next is strange to recall and makes me emotional even now. But I felt the weight of a small child in my arms. The way you hold a child to your heart when you're getting ready to put them to bed. I told him it was going to be okay, that I wasn't mad, that it was time for him to go to the light. And I think he understood, because in moments I felt the weight leave my arms, and we never had any problems again. I don't think of this as a possession. I was still fully aware of myself, and I had full recollection of everything, everything I did and everything I said. I've heard investigators describe this as being jumped. I think of it as a ghost riding you. It's not always an attempt at full control. This was a frightened child who died very young and was afraid to leave by himself. And because he had jumped me, I had to be the one to help him to go. I only knew how to do any of this because of the horrible experience I'd had earlier that year. I've already explained I have an abusive mother who said disgustingly cruel and sexually inappropriate things to me in my adolescence. I've explained that my high school years were plagued by men several times my age, catcalling and sexually harassing me. Something I'm sure many of your female listeners will relate to. This is the trauma I'd repressed and unleashed against my own person. This incident happened over several nights when I was staying with the friend I mentioned, the one with the drawings. Her parents had come back from Europe with some souvenirs, including a small mask for me. I just started my spiritualist phase and took the mask as an altarpiece, using it to represent the self I present to the world. I would soon learn this was a mistake. I was laying in bed waiting to doze off when I felt hands on my legs. They were more intrusive than forceful, although I could feel my legs being steadily pushed apart. I froze. I couldn't see anything. I had no idea what this was, but I know what I felt. I was being raped. This happened every night for a week, no matter how I lay in the bed, first the hands, then my legs. Then the rape. I didn't tell anyone, not even my friend, who knew full well these spirits exist. I tried to tell myself it was in my head, it wasn't real, I was being paranoid. Maybe I was smoking too much weed. But then another friend came to stay with me. She slept in my bed, and the next morning told me she'd felt violated trying to sleep. I hadn't told her anything. This thing, this horrid, humiliating thing, was happening to someone else who had no idea it existed. It wasn't my imagination. This was real and it was dangerous. That day we talked to my friend Tess, who was the one hosting me, and we immediately started working to clear the house. We opened all the windows from the basement to the top floor and saged throughout. Tess took out a wand carved from selenite and we went to my room. My visiting friend, I'll call her Anna, was sitting in the chair in front of my altar. Tess and I were searching for some sign of a disturbance when Anna suddenly started talking about something completely unrelated. Some school drama. I was surprised. She knew how serious this was. We asked her to please be quiet. She did. But she was fuming. She would later tell me that she felt irrationally angry that we'd even asked her to be quiet, even though she knew this was a moment requiring undivided attention. There was a thump in the next room, and Tess told us to wait. Tess was a medium who had, through her deceased grandmother, secured protection in the second floor hallway from any negative entities. We heard a series of thumps, and then she returned. She described how the being had flitted about the room and become cornered at the bottom of the stairs to the second floor. She said it was cowering. A cowering, snivelling, puny thing that quickly evaporated when she pointed her wand and directed it to the light. When I told her everything had started after putting the mask on my altar, she said the entity had come from my own energy. The mask itself was factory-made, carrying no power of its own. But by imbuing it with my own intention and my own unhealed trauma, I had made it mine. And so it became the violence that I and my friend had experienced. Writing this now, I know this wasn't my fault. Because of how I was raised, I didn't register what had been done to me as abuse until I was well out of that family dynamic. After a lifetime of sexual harassment, both inside and outside the home, I didn't understand that I was walking with years of repressed anger, trauma, and fear around my own body. Around how I and it had been treated throughout my life. It's not fair for me to blame myself for what I didn't know. What I couldn't have known. Like abuse itself, these things aren't supposed to happen. We are supposed to be loved and to love each other. We are not supposed to harm each other. Least of all, the most vulnerable amongst us. Children. Children are supposed to be treasured. Sometimes, unfortunately, that simply doesn't happen. I've since learned how to protect myself. I've begun practicing Tai Chi and Qigong to heal my mind-body connection, to strengthen my body, and to direct my energy. And thanks to the dreams and other visitations, I know my family spirits stand with me every step I take. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to read this. And even if it doesn't make it onto the show, at least I've finally given myself the catharsis that all your other contributors say comes with telling their story. This was harder to start than it was to finish. And I hope that more people are encouraged to share. Not only so your show can go on, but so they don't have to live with the shame anymore. Yours, Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, and of course I know your real name, we've interacted over your experience very recently. And I want to say a huge thank you to you for your bravery, and it is bravery, to put down and send in your whole experience. And I also want to offer you, well, I'm taken aback. I'm a bit lost for words. I kind of want to offer you sincerely just how sorry I am that you had to go through that. And when I say had to, I don't mean that, of course, but that you went through that. And I will say that I'm privileged that you decided to send your story to the show. Not that I want to make this about the show in any way, shape, or form, but you yourself did put in the comments about it being therapeutic, and that's why I mention it. And if that is the case, believe me, that is an unintended side effect of the show. This show is not intended to do that. If it does for people, I'm over the moon. So thank you for saying that. But it's really strange because you guys will have heard me many times say that this show exists because we don't want to deal in the world only of the returning dead dog, the waving grandmother to say she's okay and on the other side. You know what I say about these things. I always use the analogy of the workspace and somebody saying, my dog came to visit me last night from beyond the grave, and everybody saying, oh, how wonderful. And there could be someone in the room who wants to step forward and give an account like what you've given. But they never would because they know they won't receive our pity, belief. They'll be looked at in a different way. And that's why this show exists. But this is why it's strange, is because when dealing with a show, or should I say an episode like this, it's both genuinely terrifying because I believe, we believe, that's why we listen. Yes, there may be lots of skeptical listeners who do leave their disbelief at the door and they listen and they enjoy a little scare. But I believe what you experienced was 100% true. I believe, as you say, it was caused by repressed trauma. And it's a strange feeling that this episode may be, in fact, definitely, is one of a handful that this show is designed for. And when I say designed for, I don't mean that to put over the show or anything like that. What I mean is it's a space for people just like you and your experience to come, send it in, and be believed. This one has really shook me. You might be able to tell, but this one has really shook me because it's the first time in a long time that I've read out an experience that resonates with the core idea of why I started the show. So an unbelievable amount of thanks to you for the bravery that you've shown in sending in your experience. I'm not going to do any promos or anything like that at the end of this. That would be disrespectful or seem disrespectful, the mood that I'm currently in. So I will just say thank you all for listening. An amazing thank you to our submitter. And I'll speak to you all again for episode 3 next Friday. Until then, stay safe, take care, and don't forget, whenever you discuss the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. Goodbye.